Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. All right. This is the Sunday show with Jack Jodell and Gwen Berry. We have a couple of guests today. Our first guest is Kim G from AWOC Radio. First, we're going to give you a little musical lift to bring us into the mood for the rest of this show. Give a listen.
Have become like strangers, taking holds in opinions while the fabric decays.
For the greed of the few, how much the innocent pay.
And the children are watching if you hear how they pray. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend. You don't believe what's there on the eve of destruction. But tropical rainforest, then take a look around to the Sahara Desert. You want to cut it down, burn it to the ground, leave barren and waste, till there's no room for living animals, rivers, and lakes. And there's nothing to stop it but a miracle of faith. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, if you don't believe what's still on the eve of destruction. Now you don't believe what's still on the eve of destruction. I know you understand what we're trying to say. Can't you see the madness that led up to today? We believe it's time for a change, for a new golden age, where the business of life runs in harmony with nature. For nature reflects the beauty within ourselves. And this changing attitude would ring out the liberty bell for the hungry and the homeless and the helpless as well. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend. Then you don't believe what's still on the eve of destruction. Of creation, transcending the boundaries of our soul's imagination. You can't twist the truth, it knows no regulation, cause the truth is in love, freedom and cooperation. Let there be peace in your heart,
that's all right, that's right.
Let there be peace tonight in all the nations. For the music of life is on our laughter and liberation.
Standby, it always comes in handy. How are you doing, Jack?
Great. Was that Barry McGuire revisited there?
It was.
How nice. 48 years after the original hit made the charts. We have a follow-up. That's great.
Yeah, it came out just before December, winter solstice last year for the 2012 apocalypse-minded folks. He put that out there. It's a really great song. And I want to welcome Kim G. Thanks, Kim, for stopping by. I appreciate it. So does Jack.
Hi, Kim. Yeah, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
I wanted you to come by and tell us, bring up and tell us about real quick, because I know you got to run, about your, but first of all, I'd like to make an announcement. Today's show had something else in mind, but got into a conversation yesterday, and there's a real important subject that is not being addressed enough, and it goes along with climate change, and it's called near term extinction, and that's what the majority of this show is going to be about. So for those of you listening in, and I see y'all in there, basically that's where we're going to get to. But first we're going to talk about Facebook jail, okay? And
yes.
Please, Kim.
I'm a criminal. I'm a Facebook outlaw.
Oh, wonderful. I love you, honey. What'd you do?
I'm a Facebook outlaw now. I've had my first sentence handed down to me on July. It was, I had a comment in a post that I had made, decreed by Facebook, according to them, according to their community guidelines, that was abusive. And so, you know, I don't feel like it was, but I'll let you guys be the judge. And just suffice to say that I was, you know, I was kind of taken aback. I've heard that this kind of thing happens to people on Facebook, but it never happened to me. So just to give you guys a heads up, you know, I'm not angry at the person who had this done, because I think it's actually what's happened here with having a comment deleted and being put in Facebook jail is just kind of indicative of what happens when you have a for-profit corporation running a social media site that's
right.
used by thousands of people for social change. I think that sometimes what you have there is a for-profit running headlong, headfirst into the idea of social change and social justice. And it creates an interesting little rift in the universe, in the Facebook universe anyway. And someone had to decide that my comment was inappropriate and delete it and put me in Facebook jail. And I'm going to just kind of give you guys a little heads up. It was a post about the Pledge of Allegiance and whether or not it should be taught to children by rote as a mandatory thing to have them say when they don't really understand what they're saying, they don't understand the concepts, and they certainly do not understand the dark side of our history in this country. So I was just basically sharing a post that I felt had some cogent remarks about that. And I was kind of accosted in my comments by a gentleman who was questioning my American-ness because I was
one of those guys,
questioning.
Huh?
Yeah, you're basic troll. So here it is. Yeah. After that comment that he left me ranting, this is what I said to him. And by the way, I won't mention his name on here. It's at my website, arobradio.com, if you want to go see the images of all of this. And by the way, sir, we'll call him sir, my great-great-grandmother was Cherokee and was forcibly marched off her land in North Carolina to Oklahoma by Americans. I'm as American or more so as anyone else in this stolen land of the not really free. It was called the Indian Removal Act of 1830. I said 33, but I think it was 30. Maybe that's why they put me in jail. I have my date wrong. Conservatives talk about liberals and their kumbaya crap, but the Pledge of Allegiance isn't. It is when kids don't know the dark side, and I don't think they really do. I'm serious, though. Write us a piece on what you think is good about it, and I promise I will read it. And that, my friend, that comment got deleted from Facebook and got me banned for 12 hours.
Oh, how silly.
So you decide.
It never stopped.
I'm no fan of Facebook, as you both probably know, and I don't view them as a social media site primarily. I view them as a primarily for-profit site. And I have my issues with Facebook, but they do good things besides. But, you know, for this guy to come along or this person to come along and get you banned for 12 hours, how childish and how indicative of how thin-skinned this type of individual is.
Maybe Progressive News Network could chime in on this. Rick, are you with us? Richard,
I sure am. Thanks a lot.
Hi, Rick.
You know, I've had my share of people making, should we say, less than enlightened, less than thoughtful comments. And essentially, I just think, you know, you have a story to tell your truth, Some people will hear it, some people won't. I try not to let myself be bothered by those kind of things, but you hear uninformed opinion all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm not bothered by it. I think it's an interesting kind of a symptom of a larger problem where you have corporate profit-making in the business of social media and tools used by people for social change.
Mm-hmm.
That's really why I wanted to bring it to everyone's attention, is because
yeah.
I found that interesting. I mean, this guy is a troll, and trolls, you know, aren't really worth spending a whole
trouble,
time on. That's not the point. That really wasn't the point of why I wanted to share it. I just
mm-hmm.
wanted people to know that these are the kinds of things that corporations for profit out there in the world are making decisions about your information and your content that you're sharing on them.
Mm-hmm.
And you take it for what it's worth, or, you know, you could leave Facebook, or you could, like I'm going to do, continue to work with Facebook because I do think I get more good out of it than I do bad. But I do think it's an interesting little twist of wormhole. Happens.
That underlines the importance of keeping the internet totally free.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Indeed.
It can't be a tool for censorship.
Exactly. And so, you know, while you're out there on Facebook, just kind of keep that in mind. And if it happens to you, I suggest that you make it known.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, thanks
I
for sharing that with us, Kim. That's very vital.
Yeah, well, I thought it was interesting, and we all had a good time with it yesterday. So, anyway, I was happy to share that with you, Gwen, since you invited me, and I appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank you for stopping in. Let's say people ought to be aware, and most of us who do spend a good deal of time on Facebook networking and putting stuff out there, we use it primarily for business and to put the shows up and such, but I do actually enjoy myself on Facebook, and I have what I consider very good friends on Facebook, family, if you will, virtual families over there too. So it's important that we all know, though, that there's limitations everywhere. There's something to fight about, I guess, with Facebook. Really? Okay. Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's my little Facebook jail story. If you're a Facebook jailbird, check me out over at awopradio.com and let me know what you were in for, okay? Because, you know, we might want to commiserate together or something. But
yeah.
It's cool. I'm out of jail now unless I get in trouble again. Unless I say something that the thought police need to censor, then I'll be out there on the Facebooks with you guys.
Yeah, well, hopefully you won't encounter that again, Kim.
Thank you.
Right. Well, I got to run, but I'm going to catch you guys on the podcast later this week. So all you guys out there, subscribe. Here be monsters on your favorite podcatcher and get all the shows every week, just like I do.
Sounds
Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Kim.
All
nice
right. Bye-bye.
Richard, you're still with us.
I am indeed. I want to thank you for inviting me.
And today we've got a subject that came up yesterday, and what are we talking about? It's how I put it over on Facebook. But here's the deal: there's not enough being said about climate change and what's going on with the destruction of the planet. Of course, we're all topical about it. Everybody's got their favorite topic, it seems. You can find folks that are primarily talking about the tar sands and Keystone drilling and pipeline project. You can talk about, as I did for a couple of years, the Gulf oil spill and the ongoing disaster that is the Gulf, and then all your local stuff. But things are progressive, you know, and look who I'm talking to, Progressive News Network. But things are progressive. And there is a theory out there that I hadn't really heard of, but was introduced yesterday too. And I know a writer who's, you know, and I hadn't seen this, but Richard Adrian Reese wrote a book called What is Sustainable? And on his blog, he does a great job of introducing the the subject, which is called near-term extinction. Have you heard about it, Rick?
Yeah. Well, just yesterday, as a matter of fact, thanks to your kind offices.
Okay. Well, I want to do a little bit, and I'm not looking on the show page right now. I'm on the blog page, so forgive me if I'm not seeing something that's coming up on the screen. But I want to do a little bit of reading so that people understand what we're talking about, especially in the archive podcast where most of our listens happen. This is Richard Adrian Reese talking about the theory of near-term extinction, which I would say, well, let me read. The majority of modern society is clustered together in the hope and optimism pavilion, taking deep tokes on the bong of pleasure-filled fantasies. At the other end of the spectrum are the near-term extinction folks. They profess absolute certainty that the climate change will be the final chapter in the human story. Our current mode of living will disintegrate by 2030, and a few scientists, like Malcolm Light, predict that all life on Earth will be extinct by 2050. Ecology professor Guy McPherson is a primary spokesman for NTE. Now, that's near-term extinction, once again. The NTE thinkers point to many genuine problems that are intensifying every day. They describe a number of positive feedbacks where one problem stimulates worsening of other problems, accelerating the overall pace of destruction more and more. I think we all know this is going on if we're keeping up. A small disturbance can trigger a large avalanche. They chastise the big name climate activism celebrities for failing to realize the actual risks of these feedbacks or triggers, and consequently for preaching sermons tainted with false hope. Rapid heating will destroy agriculture, release fabulous amounts of methane, and blindside every ecosystem on the planet. The bright white polar ice caps are quite reflective and bounce away a lot of incoming solar heat, but they are melting and shrinking. Oceans may become so acidic that only jellyfish remain. The burning of fossil fuels will fade with the demise of industry, so less incoming solar energy will be blocked by layers of pollution, speeding the warming process even more. When the power grid dies, the pumps will quit at 440 plus nuclear power plants, and the cooling ponds for spent fuel rods will evaporate. Of course, this is happening right now in Japan. And so on. Acknowledging these sobering ideas is a necessity for those who wish to be present in reality. And that was a big message yesterday. I'm not any longer reading the narrative right off of here, but these are a few I would like to mention really quick. First of all, I'd like to mention that NTE can be a large amount of the information and the links on NTE or near-term extinction can be found on Mr. McPherson's blog, which is called Nature-Backed Last, as the last batter in the game. And some of the things that I think most of us are keeping informed as we can about, but are maybe neglecting to understand that as each one ticks off, more happens underneath it, and it accelerates, you know, one by one by one into, you know, tick one, you got six, global warming, melting permafrost, tundra fires, peat fires, ocean acidification. That's one that I know, because it's wait till the damn Gulf is gray, guys. It won't be long. Ionized radiation, oceanic deoxygenation, atmospheric deoxygenation, methane catastrophe. I'm going to post this link in the chat room, and I'm going to take it back over to my co-host and to you, Rick, and I'm going to say, you know what? That was Richard Adrian Reese and his explanation of near-term extinction. And underneath that post, many people, including Mr. McPherson, commented on the complete thing. And Mr. Reese says that he fully expects changes in the coming decades. And catastrophic change would not surprise him. I think most of us can look out there and see that things are tipping.
Oh,
and
yes.
You have to wonder when the real, you know, explosion is going to happen. I use the word explosion. It could be implosion. Not only is the bottom of the Gulf covered in Corexit and crude, but there's all kinds of untapped but partially dug holes in there of wells that, you know, for wells to investigate and the whether or not there's any crude to be tapped. And it's left the Gulf, the bottom of the Gulf, bathos, where the algae blooms happen and where the oxygen for the planet is created. I don't know if people really realize how much our oceans mean to us as far as being healthy, because it is from the bottom of the ocean that a lot of our major oxygen is created. But the ecosphere is pretty vast and immensely complex. And as far as Mr. Reese is saying, he's not convinced that any scientist has come anywhere close to wrapping their heads or their computers around the whole of it. And he also thinks that the near-term extinction crowd could be right. They absolutely could. But the warp and the woof, now this is just me, the warp and the woof isn't fully known. And our human DNA is pretty extraordinary. If you take a look at the evolution of Homo sapiens sapiens, we've come up like mutating beasts through the chain, you know, pretty damn
right.
Quick. And we have 10 strands of DNA that haven't even been, you know, elasticized. You
right.
have to wonder about that. You have to wonder about all these triggers,
well,
too.
You do, and it's not any reason for us to be complacent about the very pressing issues at hand. And I don't claim by any stretch of the imagination to be any sort of expert on ecology or environmentalism or anything else. But I have myself, just from a layman's standpoint, I have noticed tremendous changes in our weather patterns, and they can't be just happening as part of a cycle or by themselves. It has to be man-made. It has to be caused by man, and all the terrible pollution that we keep heaping into the atmosphere and into our rivers and streams and lakes and seas. It's going to catch up with us eventually, whether it'll be 2030 or 2050 or 2150 or whatever it is. It's going to happen unless we take corrective measures starting right now to reverse the trend.
Actually, the point is, Jack, near-term extinction posits that it's way too late. It's way too far down the road for that. That's
yeah.
the posit of near-term extinction.
Well,
and I
that
know...
I can't comment on that. I don't know if that's true or not.
Right.
It's certainly a frightening prospect, frightening enough for people to take notice and at least try to do something. Now, you mentioned we're a very adaptive species, but the whole world isn't as adaptive as we are, or they adapt to things in different stages in different ways. But nonetheless, I mean, look at the destruction that we're bringing onto the world. It's terrible.
Well, yeah, and responsibility. Well, again, responsibility, where are you going with that? But here we have somebody online who's called in, and also, Rick, you're there. So I would ask caller, who's calling in?
Hi, people. This is Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Tuna. Hi, Jack. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Jim.
We're doing
Hi,
good.
Jim. And,
well,
and Rick,
great.
Are you still there?
Yeah, let me just weigh in with one quick thought, then I have to go and get ready for my show.
I think.
Two thoughts. Number one, this planet lived through the insanity of mutual assured destruction. When two stupid countries for a lot of stupid reasons, threatened the entire world with annihilation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can understand people saying, look, my God, all the things that are going wrong, and you can't logically argue against that. But there's just a part of me that thinks, whether you want to call it the Gaia concept, that maybe there's enough cumulative wisdom out there with all these dancing particles that maybe we can be smart enough and continue to do good work, and maybe we can save this thing. Now,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's hard to argue with somebody who says, around the corner you can't see, there's a huge waterfall, we're all dead. Doesn't mean we shouldn't row the boat. Doesn't mean we shouldn't try to take care of Gaia while we're here. But I have some sympathy with those who have to see disaster. I've known plenty of them. But as for me, I'd rather laugh than cry. And with that, my brothers and sisters, I'm going to have to pass on to another project. Thanks a lot, Glenn.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You, Rick.
Show that's Rick Spisak from Progressive News Network, which follows us at 7 p.m.
We are wise enough to follow this wonderful woman. Thanks, Glenn. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. I appreciate
you. Bye-bye,
Rick.
Jim, have you got an opinion on this? Do you keep up with all of what is going down? I mean, there's huge amounts of information that are almost daily cumulative with what's going wrong.
You know I do. I've written volumes on it. And what Rick said, I just want to expound, we are smart enough, but we're not in control and we do not matter. And you know the mad men that are in charge, they don't care. And, I mean...
Well, this began yesterday.
You know, the oceans, one of you guys mentioned the ocean is, you did, Gwen, I think, is the largest source of oxygen, and it is by megapiles.
It's
phytoplankton. And we're killing it at an alarming rate.
Right.
And we're increasing the dead zones. You were talking about deoxygenation.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's increasing at an alarming rate. And everything you mentioned, just remember, that is only what we know. I mean, you can be sure that by far it is much worse. Much worse, because we don't know. We don't know. Doesn't come immediately to the front. We don't know about. Mm. They hide it.
And some is being hidden from us.
Well, of course.
Yeah, it's much worse than we think.
It's becoming more and more apparent, especially with our use of technology. David is in the chat room, and he said that not specifically related to climate change, but it does address the idea that technology is an inherent existential extinction risk, which, you take a look at the loads of computers that are fuzzing in the smoke that they cause in the fires that are destroying them in many third world countries right now where we dump our garbage. I want to mention that there are places to go to find out, and this is for the benefit of those people who do listen to us in archive. You can go to these sites. Seymour Rocks is what it's called. And you can find that on the Google blogs. It's Google blog. Seymour Rocks all together. SEEMORERockS. And it gives you a lot of information and links to information about climate change and near term extinction. And, of course, Mr. Reese's What is Sustainable? And one I mentioned at the beginning, which is Nature Bats Last by Guy McPherson. Also, if you're out there on Facebook and the social nets, there are two rooms I know of, and I think both are public, that can be accessed on Facebook that are putting out just massive amounts of credible links and information and stuff for you to pore over on this. And that is Janelle Green's Earth Matters and also Death Watch Earth on Facebook, two different rooms. There is massive amounts of links and information and also people discussing this. So if you want to get information, if you want to learn more, which we all should, it's not about being an ostrich or burying your head in the sand. You can't afford to do that. And mind you, folks are hot about this issue, you know? And so it's got a lot push me, pull me going on out there and conversations and arguments and just back and forth. And I spent yesterday and today listening to YouTube videos of people about geoengineering. And do you all understand geoengineering? You know,
why don't you explain it for those of us who don't?
Well, it's about, oh, thanks, get out of me. This encompasses ideas like seeding, you know, the weather working, seeding the clouds and putting chemicals in the atmosphere to close the ozone up and reestablish some health to the atmosphere of the planet. That's a very chancy sort of a solution. And it's what really will get you going about geoengineering is it's backed by all them Bible thumpers who are in the right wing think tank. So, I mean, I sort of back away and look at that one with my eyebrow arched. I think we have David on the phone. David, is that you?
It is me. And one thing before I even start to talk about what I called in for, I want to make a comment about geoengineering. And in my personal opinion, I think it's insanity. I think that we have no way of knowing the complexity of the dynamic system of this climate. And to try to introduce variables or biases that correct something that we don't understand, that would even at the very best take decades before the effect would occur, I think it would be the last straw that destroys us. I mean, that's my opinion about geoengineering, but we just don't understand it enough to even come close to using that as medicine.
It's extraordinarily risky, is what you're saying, and it's not responsible at all, and it has nothing to do with
It's beyond risky. It's stupidity. It's just ignorant stupidity. And what it is trying to come up with a technological solution for something that is a folly of man. I mean, we're destroying the planet, and we still think that technology will save us. And, you know, it sort of leads me back to where the reason I called in. And you know, I've been thinking more and more about this. I think that the problem that we have right now is technology is driven not by any kind of universal wisdom throughout the world. You know, I mean, there's no single intelligence that is looking at the technology that's getting produced and say, okay, this is going to be beneficial to the world. It's going to be beneficial to this company, or it's going to be beneficial to this state or country. And therefore, it's an inherent flaw. There's nothing that is looking out for the well-being of the world right now. You know,
well, that's because
America's
it's only built on economics and profitability.
Exactly. And therefore, technology, with every single new technology that's come up with, it's one further step towards our doom, whether it's plastics or nanotechnology or whatever, because there's no oversight that looks at a total impact on the world.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, if they worry about it after they cause it.
Yeah.
Well,
if they worry
I mean,
at all.
Technology is a double-edged sword. I mean, granted, you know, technology brings us antibiotics and all this other stuff, but it also has repercussions. Every single thing that we
byproducts
introduce.
Byproducts as well that are not necessarily helpful.
Yeah, yeah. Byproducts are
good point.
Yeah.
There are some stunning facts to take into consideration, which I took this information right off the post in Journey with Roundtree 7 over on Facebook, and was posted by Janelle, or Gigi, And what she did was she posted, I found this elsewhere posted in the blogs, but these are some stunning facts. Americans average 5 pounds of trash per person per day. I'm starting to look at what I'm consuming. I've done that before, but 5 pounds, that's a wake up. 120,000 pounds of garbage is produced each day at Disney World. Think about that.
Wow.
More than 500, now is that 500 billion pounds of trash is created each day? That seems about, not million, but billion pounds of trash is created each day on this planet. And you know, my friend Tracy, who's the teleprompter, was shooting a commercial down in Brazil, and they used some of the city dumps outside the larger city to film in. And what she saw with people living in them and children and everything, what she saw down there, she swears she's never going back to South America to film, because it put her in a depression for months and months. But
that's their life.
500 billion pounds of trash is created each day. David, you're an engineer. You work numbers very quickly in your mind on a guesstimate. How many city blocks would that be of buildings?
A 500 billion pounds?
Yeah. I mean, just guesstimate it. You're an engineer. You work a slide rule a lot.
Well, say you had 8 pounds per cubic foot. Let's see, 500 billion pounds, 8 pounds per cubic foot. Let's see. Give me a second here. I'm doing this in my head.
It puts a reality.
Let's see, 500 billion pounds. God, it's just astronomical, the number.
It is.
Let's see, 500 billion. Say it was 800 billion. That would be 100 billion cubic feet.
Jeez.
It would be... probably a mile high and about 50 miles long. Just a quick guess,
Every day. Now, 82%.
Every day.
That's every day.
Incredible.
On this planet.
That is astronomical. That is stunning.
That is stunning. That's stunning. Mm-hmm. 82% of recyclable trash is thrown out every day into unrecycling. I'm assuming this means into unrecycling, kinds of refuse. 40% of all food in the United States of America goes uneaten each year, and that's $165 billion worth of food every year that goes uneaten.
That's a horrendous waste.
Yeah, and becomes
trash. That's why people dumpster dive.
If they sell the apples in bags that were smaller, I'd be happier. But anyways, because I'm guilty. I am guilty. I'm guilty with the fruit. The U.S. spends more on trash bags than most countries combined. And I think in some of these facts, what we're learning here is that wake up that basically Americans are at the top of the heap here in just being absolutely incredulously the lazy slobs of the planet who are producing a majority amount of the garbage, waste, and pollution. I'm getting that, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
China's not trying to catch up, though. That's the thing, is other countries cannot be like us.
Right.
China is wanting to be more and more industrious. They're wanting their bigger slice of the pie. They're wanting to consume more and more resources. Other countries are doing it as well. And the whole system is just unsustainable.
Mm-hmm. Last I checked, China was building a new power plant, coal power plant, every week.
About every 7 to 8 days, a new coal plant is built in China.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Nobody cares. Just put all this together. Everything you've said.
Yeah.
No,
put it all together.
It's not that nobody cares. It isn't that nobody cares. Let's get that
well,
right.
We
this
do, but we don't matter.
No, this was a part of the conversation. It's ignorance. Or
right.
The other part about it is not believing. Oh, I don't believe that. I've got hope, and we're gonna fix it. Who's going to fix it? When people don't know, where's the pressure on leadership to do something and put the brakes on? And beyond all of that, in the moment,
right.
Here we have a credible group of critical thinkers in the scientific community who are claiming, well, fuck, man, game over. The last batter's up, and it's nature. I mean, that's what's going on right now. And that's the message that some of our folks that are our companions in the social networks are trying to bring to our awareness and say, you know, have some responsibility. Well,
mm-hmm.
and from my point of view, too, it's that, you know, if we're going to come to that realization, that's, you know, hey,
well, you know, in a nutshell, the United States in particular has to get over its fixation and its absolute obsession with the cheapest and quickest way is the best. It's always got to be cheap and it's always got to be quick. And you know what? Some things that are healthy don't come that way and are not meant to be that way, and we've got to get over that fixation because it's killing us.
David. Well, what's killing us is the drive for profit.
Exactly.
I mean, as long as the policies of this country or other nations are set by the people that are never satisfied with enough profit and continuously striving for more, hoarding
more cash. Yep.
As long as that occurs and there's no wisdom in our policies, we're doomed. I mean, there's no amount of recycling 2-liter plastic bottles or driving a 40-mile-per-hour gallon car is going to save us. Until
right.
they address those major issues, nothing is mm-hmm. going to save us.
Right, right.
David,
no, it's got to be a big change in mindset. It really does.
Well, this is the thing. People don't know this. And there's an argument that's going on with the people who lead us, who have the law above us, that create the law. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'm beyond thinking there's any freedom of voting for who and what is saying what who. Money runs this country. And,
it sure
and,
does.
And we really aren't getting a say in any of it. So, David, my question to you and my next question is, what do you think is possibly, just off the top of your head, is I thought it was going to be the Gulf going tits up, if you will. Please excuse my language, gentlemen. I thought that it would be the Gulf going gray kind of thing, but what do you think is the big phenomenal event that's going to get people worldwide to sit down and go, holy shit? And it's going to create...
Not going to happen.
Well, there's several happen. Things, but one of the things that I think is really going to and it gets to this positive feedback thing is the methane and the methane hydrates that are going to be released once the ice starts defrosting and at a greater and greater rate. Because what happens is the ice reflects energy. And so with less and less light being reflected, more and more is absorbed. It's a positive feedback thing. And that's one of the positive feedback things that Janelle had listed. But there are several of them. You know, and also might come up with this, voice my own personal opinion. I don't think, I really don't believe in a 5-year NTE, but I do believe that, and I made this analogy, that the bus has gone over the cliff, that it's
mm-hmm.
something major is going to happen. And
even
if we completely changed our way of living, we can't stop it because
mm-hmm.
it's like a huge... enormous boat that you can make a course correction, but it's going to take you 15 miles before you get turned around. And there's no decision that we can make right now that's going to change that course. We're going to have to go the 15 miles before we can get turned around. And that's even if we change today. So, I mean, although I don't believe in the timeline of the NTE that I've seen, I certainly believe in the gravity of it.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
It makes a lot of sense, David. You know, while we're talking about this, and for those people who are going to be listening to this, I want to add some more of these factors in there. 24,000 acres of forest are cut down every day. Deforestation affects the water cycle. Trees absorb groundwater and release the same into the atmosphere during transpiration. Don't give me no crap, guys. With a loss of medium for this release, the climate automatically changes to a drier one, and reduction in not only the atmospheric moisture, but also the water table. The majority of plastic is made from the hydrocarbons that are readily available, natural gas, oil, and coal. 280 million tons of plastic is produced each year. Less than half of it is recycled. 370 species suffering its effects, and another possible 33 billion tons produced by 2050.
We have a plastic island floating into the Pacific right now that's larger than the state of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, under about 4 feet of water.
Yeah. Many
little bits
many.
And chunks of plastic.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever seen what can happen to, especially a bottlenose dolphin from the beer and soda rings that are chucked into the ocean by fishermen, anglers out there, you'll never take plastic out to sea again. It's horrific. It's just horrific. 70 million tons of CO2 are released into the atmosphere every day. Do people understand? Do you think people understand what that means, David?
Do people understand? No.
Yes, do they understand what 1 billion cars, over a billion cars on the planet is doing?
Well, you know, I don't see how they could not understand, but apparently, you know, there's a lot of other factors that are taking sort of priority over what we're,
right.
You know, look at the Keystone Pipeline. I mean, they keep on bringing up jobs and stuff like that. It's always going to be that way until we can change that mindset of profits and jobs or anything like that. Then it's never going to change. We're just we're in a slow downward spiral.
Nation competition for superiority. That's what's going to be our downfall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen nothing yet.
No. I mean, there's going to be some major catastrophe. And I don't want to be, you know, the doomsayer or whatever, but I want to keep on going back to this point. We have to change our mindset, the way we think. We have to change the way our leaders think, that jobs and short-term economic profits and stuff isn't the main concern in their decisions.
Yes, it's long-term health that's far more important than short-term profit, and we've got to get over this obsession with short-term profit.
Well,
yeah, it's obsession. And in the fact that even if you question it, you're thought to be unpatriotic in this country.
Oh, it's insane. Yeah,
we
that's
will
those
change
idiots.
Our mindset after we hit the point of Soylent Green, and then it'll
be
too late, like you said.
No, I read something that was poignant yesterday. I read this. I've been labeled so often a doomer. I've just come to embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Yeah.
All through history, it has been the lonely voice crying out, saying, stop, cut it out, quit, this is what's going to happen. And it takes a great deal of courage, and it's a huge risk to really be that person who's on the island, or that group of people who are on the island that are saying, you've got to know this, whether you want to hear it or not. So there has to be some credibility there, and people have to turn around and listen.
Right.
You know?
Oh, there's a lot of credibility there. You know,
yeah,
you could argue that the fine points of the
not.
Timeline, but everything is credible about that thread. Every single thing was credible. So you got to think, okay, say it's not 5 years, say it's 50 years. Yeah. You know, 50 years is going to happen within my child's lifetime. Okay.
Right.
And, you know, that is just that very statement right there is mind boggling. The fact that my child will go through an extinction.
Yeah.
Here's that mindset that has to change too. It's not just humanity. It's about loving the planet, our home. Mm. That's so desperately what we've lost.
Oh yeah.
And what is so desperately sitting in front of us right now.
We are killing our mother.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, and
very good way to put it.
Well, we are, and those that are in charge they're not really in control. They don't care.
They're being controlled.
Yeah.
Well, when you combine prophets and then some of the, and this is one of the things that drives me crazy, is some of these religious voices that say, well, God won't allow a flood, or God's going to do this, or God's going to do that. I mean,
it's
that just
disgusting.
Happened in Miami, Florida, where they said that they didn't have to worry about climate change because God wasn't going to allow a flood.
City commission.
On what authority do they make such crazy claims?
A corrupt group of people. I personally understand that down there, how corrupt they are. I covered them years ago, and they're the same today. It's ridiculous when people start using that, you know, the God thing. You know, my God's better than your God, first of all. And second of all, it's God's book that tells us what's going to happen. It's become tragic. So tragic.
Well, there's a lot of people that think that way, that God is, well, if the world's going to get extinct, then God has planned it.
Yeah, God.
And,
well, they're wrong,
and,
let's face it. Those people are ignorant and they're wrong.
Yeah.
And they're using their fear to dominate other people and to try and dominate the discussion. And that's very wrong.
And it always comes down to the prophets.
Well,
it always comes down to the prophets. That's right.
Here's the other thing about near-term extinction. Many people within the number, well, I guess the ones who really embrace near-term extinction and the numbers, in the numbers that are being proffered by Mr. McPherson and others right now, see it as there is no solutions. There are no solutions. It's just having the knowledge of it, but I guess I don't embrace that. I embrace solutions, of course.
But
I have to tell you, where do we turn? Where do we begin? When you look at the absolute stark reality that stands before us, I can't say that near-term extinction is wrong. I'm like David, I suppose, in that. And we don't know what the solutions are.
It behooves us to at least ask and then study, and then we will find an answer to what plagues us and a remedy. And I do believe that we have the capacity and we will be able to deal with this. Maybe not, you know, without consequence. I'm sure there'll be consequence, but I don't believe it's the end of the world, as people say. As people tend to believe.
Yeah, but
no,
Jack,
it's not the end of the world.
Critical thinkers have a point on this. They're saying, well, that's just a lot of words. It doesn't mean anything. Where is your credibility there? There's credibility for near-term extinction. It's the other side of this table. You know, right now is, where are the solutions? Well, you know.
You have to find it.
Well, yes, of course. Yes, of course. But the point is, it's not being done. It's not being done.
I think it's going to require, and, you know, I hate to even say this, it's going to require something, a major tragedy before.
Oh, sure. We don't act, we react, David. You know that.
No.
In our history, we never act.
I'm talking about
something
on the equivalent of like a World War II or something like that.
Something
like that is the only thing that's going to change us.
Very good point. That's very true. And something like that will happen. And as a result,
it is
will
gonna
adapt.
Happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's a shame. I mean, you know, we're supposedly an intelligent species, but I think it's going to come down to that.
Well, you know, it was the brain that got us through the, you know, prehistoric times, but it's the brain that is going to be our doom.
That could be a good point, yeah.
You know,
hey, Jim, that's exactly what I put a link in the chat room. It's technology an existential extinction risk? And they go into that very idea. They expand upon it and they say that our very brain, our technology is beyond our capability of handling it.
Yes.
That technology is created for the benefit of few, but there's nothing that looks at the overall effect of it.
Well, that's because it's all based on profit. It's got to be profitable.
It comes back to that,
They won't even deal with it.
It's even worse nowadays because a lot of the universities are, I mean, they're developing stuff for corporations. You know, a lot of the research.
And that's another flaw.
Yeah, that's another flaw. I mean, there's a lot of the research is no longer just for research only. A lot of it is especially because it's so costly, it's driven by corporations and the potential for profit.
Right, exactly.
So that automatically biases your intelligence.
Things are put in use before they really know what, you know, what damage they can do. Mm-hmm. I mean, just look at the drugs you take. I mean, after they start killing you, then they say, oh, we didn't know it could do that.
The whole planet is medicated. Unless you live someplace like where Cliff lives out in, you know, the backwoods of Maine and you've got your own well, if you're living in an urban area anywhere in the Western world, you are Medicaid because
you
can't be cleaned. I mean, look who's on the show, David. I mean, the water can't be cleaned off of these
David, you're being medicated?
There's
fluoride in your water.
Hey.
There's antibiotics in your dairy products. I mean, it's
all over the
place.
Yeah.
You know what, people? We have talked, and we're down to 2 minutes. And I before we, you know, we can continue to talk and go into overtime, I want to reach out to the people who've been listening live and say thank you for listening in. And I also want to remind everybody that, good Lord, when's the next show? Ah, Bingo the Bear. It's on. Bingo the Bear, midnight our time. Midnight his time, 3 a.m. our time on Tuesday. Oh, good grief.
Scenes from the Toaster.
Oh, whoa, yeah. And we are sponsored by Roundtree 7, that's the number 7.com. And I want to thank David Williams, Jack Chodell, and Jim Joyner for being with me. And please remember at 7 p.m. to go on over and listen to Rick Feedback, the Progressive News Network. We are all members of the Commons Project Network. Please remember
that
one.
Thank you, Gwen. That's very good. You've given me a lot of, in particular, a lot of food for thought to explore in the coming weeks. And I won't give up the fight. So everybody keep thinking forward, keep thinking progress, and somehow we'll arrive at something good.
Well, it's the group, it's the community that has put forward the information. So
right.
And David, thank you. Jim, thank you for being with us tonight.
Well, thank you, Gwen.
Hi, thank you.
Very good. To hear from you, Jim. And David, take care, fellas. And you too, Gwen.
Take it easy.
See you next week.
See you next week, Jack.
Okay,
bye-bye. And there we go. This has been the Sunday Show with Hear Me Monsters. And always, JG, always. Okay. Good night, Jim.
Good night, Gwen. I'm still here.
Yeah, me too, but we're going down in about 20 seconds. Take care of yourself, hon.
All right, you too, Gwen. Good night.